Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor New Zealand Season 2, Episode 4. I'm your host, Shannon Gates, here to talk about a very intense episode of Survivor, I think. Like, there were tears, a few laughs, always from Chizzy, but another really great episode of Survivor New Zealand. And to talk about it, I've brought in another great guest from Australian Survivor Season 2. If you can't tell, it's one of my favorite seasons ever, one of my favorite casts ever, and I'm always so happy to talk to someone from this season. So please welcome one of my personal favorites from that season. She was a great character and a big fan. Please welcome Annalise Wilson. Annalise, thank you for joining me.
Oh my God, what an introduction. Thank you. I like you too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I definitely related a lot to your character on the show, you know, a similar demographic and both really big fans of Survivor. So I instantly related to your character from the preseason, and then you played Survivor, and now here we are talking about Survivor New Zealand. It's funny how life works out.
Yeah, I guess I think that's the thing. When it comes to people who really supported me out there, it wasn't the people who you pass on the street. They normally don't recognize you or whatnot. But the people who actually really had your back were the exact same as me. And I think, like, I wouldn't really have it any other way, like just the super fans sticking together.
Yeah, well, this is a podcast for super fans. Obviously, we're here to talk about Survivor New Zealand on a podcast. So I think anyone listening is a super fan. So we're in the right area there. Before we talk about Survivor New Zealand, though, I would love to ask you what you've been up to since we last heard from you on RHAP, which was in an extended ex interview that you did with Nick last year. And what have you been doing since then?
These questions always make me put my life into perspective. So I moved out with Sarah. So I live with Sarah for about 6 months, and I've moved back home just for a week because I'm flying to America on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. So
I actually don't have a plan. I don't even have my first night's accommodation. I just know that I fly in. And I'm assuming it works like it works on movies. Don't you just meet, like, the Prince of Morocco at a beach and he takes you somewhere? I'm not sure. But
are you going to Morocco?
No.
That might be your best first step then, if that's what you're trying to do.
That's what I've been doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've definitely got to plan that, but I've been building. I do online social media management, all boring worky stuff, but it means I can kind of travel and work. So this is my first little solo trip, seeing if I can live that nomad lifestyle.
That's awesome. And we had Brett LaBelle on the podcast last week, and he said he was going to meet you in Boston. So if nothing else, you should just probably go around America and just meet different US Survivor players, because that's what I would do.
Just slide into their DMs. Hey guys, can we have a play date? No, that's actually exactly what I did with Brett. So I'm really excited to meet him.
That's what I did with Brett to get him on the podcast. And it's also what I did with you. So, like, I think that's completely legitimate.
It's got a good success rate.
Yeah. And also, I saw that you were recently hanging out with Andrea Belke in Melbourne. Like, please tell us about this. Looks so awesome. We're all very jealous, I think.
Okay. Given that you and I are probably like the exact same kind of person, as I'm discovering, that was like really weird for me. Like, I loved her. She was great. We got along really well. We have the same kind of sense of humor. But I've been watching Survivor ever since it started. So I was 4. So Andrea's played 3 times. I am well aware of who she is. Like, it was crazy. Her skin is so smooth in person. Like, it was just these weird things I was picking up on. But
she looks
like
a Disney princess.
It's dumb. But I guess, like, Jericho was there too, and he was like, I'm your biggest fan. We were trying to just, like, play it cool. Like, when I'm in these situations, I kind of have to act like, yeah, no, this is no big deal. But inside, it was very exciting for me.
Yeah, I mean, it looked really fun. You guys had a viewing party in Melbourne. You went to a football game, I saw, and I thought I was, like, completely stalking your Instagram story all weekend. definitely not doing that. But I was just jealous that you came to Melbourne and not Sydney, but I'm happy that you guys had such a good time.
Oh, I'll make sure they come to Sydney next time. When the US Survivors players come down, I need to, like, tag along on their holidays and be like, let's just go everywhere, and then they can take me and we'll come visit.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like such a stalker now because I know everything about you, but didn't you do that with Adam and Jay last year as well?
Oh, no. See, this is fine because I publicized it. When people put things on their Instagram and on their Instagram stories and whatnot and then get weirded out that people know, it's like, what do you expect?
Yeah, and I'm a podcast host. Like, I'm just very well researched, I think. Yeah. It's all part of the job.
I also have too much time on my hands, and I'm also very well researched on everybody I see. And then they get all like, how do you know that? Well, you posted it. Yeah, so last year Jay and Adam came down to Melbourne, and we clicked. We got along really well. My sense of humor is a bit offensive to most people. And when I find the group of people that don't find me offensive but find me funny, I tend to latch on. So extended our little staycation and went to Byron Bay with them, which was awesome.
Oh my God. Going on Survivor has so many perks. Like, what an amazing way for that to play out.
Oh, I know. So many friends, so many mental issues, but so many friends.
It's worth it, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Annalise. Well, I got you here for an important episode because one of my favorite moments from your time on Survivor, and this is going to sound really bad, but it was when you got voted out.
Oh, when yeah, your, my favorite too.
When your idol was negated by Ziggy. I didn't enjoy that, but I enjoyed that afterwards when we as the viewers had so many questions. There was one clip of you that I loved so much where you just said, why?
Oh, my God, I know. Whenever anyone talks to me about this, I literally right now I'm sitting in the exact same position that there's photos of me sitting there with, like, my head in my hands. And that's all I said. I was just like, why? Like, it makes no sense.
It made no sense. It still makes no sense. But anyway, when I was watching this episode of Survivor New Zealand, episode 4, I was just thinking, why? So much of the time. So I'm like, Annalise is the perfect guest.
Yes. Yes. I'm your why guest.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So before we get into the semantics of the episode, are you enjoying the season?
You know what? I actually really am. I didn't watch Survivor New Zealand last season, so this is my first time in. And without wanting to offend anybody, whenever you start fresh, I had my expectations pretty low, but I'm actually really enjoying it. People are playing the game. The challenges started off pretty slow, but they're getting really good. Like, the ones this week were amazing. So I don't know. I really am enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a step up from season one, much like Australian Survivor had with your season from season one, and might take these international franchises like a little bit of leeway, and then they really get into it. And obviously Australian Survivor season two, I can't sing its praises enough. And aww. I think we're tracking in a really good way with Survivor New Zealand season two as well.
Yeah, I think everyone's doing an amazing job. So I'm excited to be watching and I can't wait to see where it goes.
Yeah. Are there any players in particular that you like and don't like?
But do you know what? I'm not sure. One of the things when I, because when you come out of Survivor and it's playing, for some reason you think it's really healthy just to listen to podcasts and listen to people's opinions. So when it comes to people that I actively don't like, I can't say I want to say. I think that edits can say one thing and, like, people's perspectives can be cut and changed. I'm conflicted when it comes to Adam.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Because he's like, I see him, I'm like, I want to be his best friend. He's a great character. He's got cool opinions. And then sometimes I see it going into catty.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, ease up. And then he does something again. I'm like, oh, yeah, Adam. Like, he's like, yeah, they've got very mixed relationship with Adam, even though he probably does not know who I am. And I actually... I really did like what Keisha stood for.
Yeah. Well, with Adam, I mean, it got a bit personal, got a bit ugly in this episode, but he's obviously a character. He's very funny. Even at Tribal Council, he was being really funny, and I hated myself for kind of chuckling at his jokes because it was getting into, like, a bit of a mean territory. And I do hate to see that on Survivor when it gets to a bit of that mean level. So we will talk about that a bit. But yeah, with Adam, I think it could go either way because he was definitely a fan favorite in the early episodes. But if it becomes like mean, it becomes more just outright bullying, I think the fans might turn on him to a degree.
Yeah. And I think that's all I'm saying is that I definitely don't not like him. I'm sure he's amazing. I think he's playing a pretty good game at this point in time. But I'm just seeing signs of this could be going somewhere I don't necessarily approve of. But I'm also like, it's so hard out there and you do lose perspective. So for one, I give him that credit and that time just to maybe lose his temper. That's fine. It's been, 12 days? And he said one sentence that I didn't enjoy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in that scenario, it's kind of where you all band together and then gameplay is different. So I'll just be interested to see where it goes. It could be a really interesting story arc.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we like when everything's, you know, the gameplay is tough, but everyone's nice enough on Survivor. I mean, these people are from New Zealand. They're meant to be like the nicest people on the planet. So we do like to see that. But in terms of the vote itself, which is what I want to start with, because it was a blindside. Like, it was a blindside to Keisha. I was blindsided.
Blindside to us.
Yeah, were you blindsided?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd never seen someone so blindsided to stay in the game. Like, the look on Dylan's face, and he was just saying whatever he wanted to Tribal, just thinking, like, there is no way I survive this. And then he was still around 20 minutes later, like, oh, dear.
That happened to Tessa in our season. She had to come back to camp and be like, oh. Well, I don't know. I've got a bit to say about Dylan's, like, scramble for tribal. Are we going to touch on that later, or is this the
no,
time?
No, let's talk about the vote. Yeah, let's talk about all of it.
Yeah, because I just felt like his scramble was, as a super fan, I saw him doing things that for me didn't make any sense. Like, I just found it was quite lackluster. He was sitting alone. He didn't really pitch himself. He kept saying, "I'm a super fan, please keep me around." But like, there was a time, who was he talking to? I think it was like
Josh.
Yeah, I think it was Josh. And he's like, "You know what? I just don't know if I could trust you." And he goes, "That's fair."
Yeah.
No, that's his time to say, in my opinion. Once again, like, I understand it, maybe we got an edit, but for me, I feel like that's his time to say, "Look, man, I'm lost my mind out here, but at the end of the day, I understand that, like, you can't get to the end without being loyal to someone, and if you keep me around, like, I'm like, not even an attempt that could have fallen on deaf ears."
Mm-hmm.
But it's just something that I see as logical instead of just trying to play on people's heartstrings. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I found it quite lackluster. And then to see him sitting by himself, like, that's the number one rule. You don't sit by yourself if you're on the chopping block. And then, I don't know, I just felt like he had someone else doing his dirty work for him, which could speak for his social game, but I don't know. I was unimpressed.
Yeah, I agree that I would say that he didn't save himself more than Keisha doomed herself. But I actually do think that while I wasn't impressed with his efforts to save himself, I think that is actually what ended up saving him. Because when I look at the why of why they got Keisha over Dylan, which will be the running theme of this podcast, when I look at it, and it makes no sense. Like, did you like the move of them taking out Keisha over Dylan? Because to me, it makes no sense.
No, to me, it does make sense.
Okay, let's disagree.
Well, but the worst part was I really liked her. But I can definitely see the logic behind it, because throughout the episode, everyone kept saying, "Oh, I'm not sure if I trust her. I'm not sure if I trust her." She was even saying, like, "You've got the five and there's two power couples in there and blah, blah, blah." And she had all these links with people. That's dangerous.
Right. But they're not sure if they can trust her, but they know they can't trust Dylan. And for me, they could come back from voting Dylan out and say to Keisha, "We just didn't like Dylan, but we like you. And now that he's gone, we'll bring you in." And she had that connection with Matt, where I think they could kind of bring her back into the fold, maybe control her through Matt a bit. Whereas Dylan is just out. Like, he hates you and you hate him, and he's slipping on you yesterday. Like, there's no chance for them, I think, to reconnect with Dylan. Whereas I think that the relationship with Keisha could have been salvaged.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that as well. I think I had a similar kind of dilemma in my game. And the idea is, you have someone that you can predict what they're going to do, and then you have someone that is unpredictable because they're, like, I don't know, like an intelligent thinking being that works on a different plane to maybe your level of intel, like people thinking differently. And if you can't predict what someone's going to do, that's a little bit more dangerous sometimes than the other way around, because that's when you can falter, because you can't defend yourself.
Right, but I do think that Dylan is smart and is not just like a lackey that they'll be able to, like, and they might be able to predict him, and they can predict that he's definitely going to turn on them, but I do think that he can actually cause damage, whereas Keisha could have caused damage too, but I just think that that connection could have been there. But that is a pretty good explanation from the other perspective. But I do think that, going back to Dylan not saving himself, I think that was what that tight five might have looked at to actually save him. Because if I look at where Dylan was in the tribe, he was on the bottom and he was playing as if he was on the bottom. Like, he was basically playing dead, and that's not an immediate threat to the tight five. Whereas Keisha was second from the bottom, and she was just playing beyond her position, where she's trying to cause trouble and she's trying to make a split vote, which I thought was very confusing, because I was like, you are second on the bottom, so surely the second name will be you. Thought that was very weird.
I know. When she threw out Adam's name, I was like, don't say it.
Yeah, and Adam,
like,
of all
no.
people. Yeah, and it was such a weird conversation, because I think it was with, like, Brad, Tara, Matt, and her. So they couldn't throw out Lisa because of Tara. They couldn't throw out Dylan and Keisha, because Keisha was actually there. Like, which names could they give? So it just reminded me of that conversation you had with Lockie about the idol, where it's just people just completely lying to each other's faces, and there was just, like, no hint of authenticity to that entire conversation.
I was so, like, stupidly annoyed. Like, I didn't need to be that level of annoyed at that conversation. But I walked away and I was like, I have work to do right now.
It's a waste of time, basically. Exactly.
Just leave me alone for a second.
But so when I look at what Keisha did wrong, like, there actually are a few things where I'm like, I can see how they would be immediately annoyed by her causing trouble. And last week I said with Frankie, if she had just done nothing, she would have stayed in the game. And I feel the same with Keisha. Like, she really just needed to pick a plan and commit to it. Like, if you want to commit to being with Dylan, that's not the right plan. But then at the very least, like, he's in front of you and, like, in the firing line and will go first. And hopefully you'll win some challenges and then make it to a merge or a swap. But yeah. I still don't think that's the right move. But at least it's definite. Or she can try to integrate with the majority, which is what she was doing last week with Matt and throwing Dylan under the bus.
She was.
And those were the right instincts. And then, you know, I know that what she did morally, like, I have to say, great job on that. It's hard to stand up for someone who's, you know, being picked on. Really, like, as a human, well done. As a survivor player, you gotta leave him to die.
Yeah,
I think that is my strategic advice, and I feel like a bit of a bad person, but surely that's the move.
The drowning cat analogy, let the cat drown.
Exactly.
That's another thing I was thinking with Dylan as well, when he was like, oh yeah, that's fair. Like, another thing I thought an option he could have done is throw Keisha under the bus, and I guess he didn't need to. I guess she kind of did it herself, mm-hmm. but it was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I mean, they needed to separate from each other. And, you know, Lisa and Tara, they separated from Dylan. You know, it was just not a good vibe to be associated with him. And then she just took it to another level. But things, for example, that she did, she said that she wanted Tessa to know that she knew that she threw the challenge. Like, why?
I have that written here right now.
She has so much power and you have no power. Why would you want her to know that? Like, just play dead, Keisha.
I said, why let her know that you know, ?
Yeah, exactly. Why? No, but seriously, that move.
Why?
Getting rid of Keisha, I think, might be a credit to how much power Tess has in the Alliance, because they all seem to hate Dylan the most, but Tessa has always had this rivalry with Keisha, so it might speak a bit more to how much power she has that the person she wanted to go in Keisha went home.
Yeah.
Especially when Keisha's throwing out, you know, her name and Tessa's name and everything like that as well.
Yeah, I think if Tessa can stick with this alliance till merge, she's in a pretty good position.
Yeah, I actually was quite impressed with that this week, and I've ragged on Tessa a lot, so I give out my compliments and I hope that they're appreciated. But last week, Brett and I went through the scenario of them throwing a challenge to get rid of Dylan and him getting voted out and having absolutely no play. And I said that that would devastate me to watch. And for 99% of this episode, I think Dylan thought that that was what was happening, and it was hard to watch. And the fact that I was so blindsided, like, I was just happy as a super fan, as much as I did like Keisha and I felt bad for her. And she was crying at Tribal, and she really did try to help her friend. So, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. But for Dylan, who's a personal favorite of mine, and he's a super fan, and if he had been voted out here, it would have been pretty heartbreaking for me.
Yeah, it would have been hard. But at the same time, day 12, right?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, but he's
not
been to a tribal council. So it's just like the first tribal council. And
I know.
They
I'm
all
just
hate him.
I know. I'm trying.
I know. It just because for me, having watched Jacob Derwin in Ghost Island go out at his first tribal council, and it was a similar thing where he was the biggest fan, and watching that hurt my soul, because I know that if I were to go out as a super fan, like, I'd probably face a similar fate. And I don't think I could watch someone get Derwin twice in a few months. So I'm glad that Dylan at least made it through one tribal council.
That's a verb now, is it?
Yeah, getting Derwin. Especially if it had happened to Dylan. Like, this is a consistent thing that happens to super fans. Like, the worst nightmare.
Yeah, for sure. No, I can totally relate to that as well.
But do you think that they threw the challenge? Because it wasn't really made clear, but...
No, I think the challenge dropped, and then, not that I was there, but my opinion is maybe the challenge wasn't as great as it should have been, and then Tessa started feeling a little bit smug. I think she wasn't worried. I don't think they lost and their stomachs dropped. I think they probably enjoyed losing and kind of ran with that.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same, where it was like, we could win, we could lose, like, either way. I didn't think that they were actively throwing it, but they certainly weren't desperate.
I had a few notes about the challenge. Like, I thought that when they eventually met up with the other tribe who was, like, undoing their bags, there was a lot of unnecessary roughhousing. Like, it was slowing them down to go out of their way to push the other people. I just thought it was a very interesting tactic. And I felt like the whole challenge, like, even on both sides, like, it was quite slow moving. Like, there wasn't any haste. Like, Yeah, I'm looking for more, like, drive.
But Chani were adorable with their little, like, right? Like, whatever they were doing was so cute. And when they won as well, like, my heart was just happy for Chani. Obviously, watching them just get so beaten, it was nice to see. And also sad thinking that Kunkel might have thrown it. But either way, like, how lovely for Chani.
Yeah. I think I had the same thing happened to me. Let's make this about me again. Did I tell you I was on Survivor?
That's why we get ex-Survivor contestants on. We do assume you are going to talk about your time on the island. Otherwise, it would just be me talking by myself for hours.
Okay, I'm just trying to check myself here because my family's sick of it. I wake up every morning and I'm like, oh, back when I was on the island.
I talk about Survivor all day too and I haven't even played it, so I kind of get it.
Yeah, well, with mine, it was that one of the things I came home and I was kind of undefeated on the puzzles and I was so proud of doing the vertical puzzle. And then when I watched the episode, freaking Henry throws it.
Yeah, that's painful. Like, that reminds me a lot about of Survivor Pearl Islands, where the Morgan tribe are so excited that they won a challenge and then Johnny Fairplay comes and tell them that Drake actually threw it and they're so mad about it. So
yeah,
that always makes me laugh.
Oh, okay. But I did good too, right? Yeah. No, I'm not sure I would call that throwing of the challenge.
I'm sure you would have won anyway.
That's right? What I say to myself.
But I do have a question about your time on Survivor. So there you go. We're both bringing it up. No, but because you, I think, were in an interesting position where you were actually voted out by people like Jared and Peter and Tessa, and then you reconnected at the merge and voted with them, if I'm correct.
Yeah, so, that's right.
I mean, they actually voted you out. So that's like a big move. And so do you think that there's any chance someone like Dylan, who's so ostracized from that tribe, but not to the point where they voted him out, but pretty close, do you think that he could reconnect with them, or is that just completely done?
I think they're very, very different circumstances. Okay, we're going down the rabbit hole here. I definitely contest the idea that I was legitimately voted out when it was.
Oh, I agree.
When it was a double elimination, it wasn't something that I could have necessarily prepared for, and I had a lot of social, like, Tessa and I recognized that we were the same kind of thought process, but we were wanting to keep different people in the game. Mm-hmm. So we never really had fake conversations or pretended to do whatnot. And then at the same time, I had Jared and Petey in the opposing alliance, making sure that I wasn't being gunned for and I was making sure they weren't being gunned for. So I had all these relations that I kind of kept open and kept me in good stead. And when I was voted out, it actually went to another double vote because Petey and Jared voted to get rid of Lockie. That wasn't shown in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So there were all these things. And then when I went across to Asanga, I made sure I didn't drag everybody's name through the mud. Yeah. Like, my goal was to never burn bridges because at the end of the day, when I was going home, the two people that stood by me were Tessa and Petey.
Yeah,
and
I know. It's crazy.
So, and I think that speaks a lot for keeping an open mind. And I think another thing for me as well is that I was swapped to Asanga, which was great fun, but then I was swapped back into the tribe that voted me out and I needed to work with them. Right. So you can't be, I think it's each way works because I think Tara was a little more bitter and a little less forgiving. And I think that worked out better for her. I tried to keep all my options open. And then at the end of the day, I think I ended up annoying everybody.
Well, I think that it does come down to those social dynamics, as you say, like you sort of friendship with them, even though they strategically voted you out. And I don't know how Dylan can come back and work with them when socially it's been so vitriolic and mean and personal, as we've said. And I think that's the difference. That's why he wouldn't be able to come back, because you didn't have that with those people.
And I think, yeah, one of my efforts was to not burn any bridges. And one of Dylan's efforts seems to annoy the other tribe so much at challenges. Like, what do you say? I'm not shaking his hand.
Yeah, no, he's had a bit of that in terms of the shaking the hand. He talked about the strong women. He talked about not having his shirt pulled or something last week. So I don't know, but probably focusing on those moments as well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, when he said the thing about the strong women with Chani, I was like, please stop, Dylan. Like, you need these people so much. And then they came back to camp and talked about it. And I was like,
because no. it offends literally everybody that you're speaking to. First of all, that's not fair to the men. Like, just to be like, oh, yeah, they were threatened, so they got rid of the strong woman. Well, no, that's not taking into account so much. And then it offends the women who are there. Like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Shut up, mate.
Yeah, and it's sad because Dylan 100% needs to become like the next Chani member, and at a swap or a merger, as soon as he possibly can, he needs to be off the Kung Kao ship that he's currently like not even on. So yeah, I hope he hasn't pissed them off too much, but I do think that's like one comment, and surely they can overcome that quite quickly if he would be swapped with them.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to talk about with this vote is how much I really enjoyed the edit, because it was the kind of thing where Keisha's name wasn't really brought up. We heard about how they didn't trust her, but she wasn't seen as like a real option, I thought, for tribal council. But then when she was voted out, you could go back and it made sense. So that's like my favorite edit.
I'm totally with you on that one.
And continue.
No, you go.
I was just thinking that the smoking gun was that when Brad, I think, said to Lisa, he was like, oh, we told her we're voting for Adam, but not Adam. And I, as a viewer, was like, what? That's obviously a code for something. And so now in hindsight, that was obviously Keisha. So to me, that's like the missing piece of the puzzle.
That's what that was. I thought that was him telling her that he didn't trust that her votes were actually going to Adam.
See, I thought, because even in this, like when they subtitled it, they had Adam in quotation marks. He was like, we're voting for Adam. But Adam was clearly Keisha.
Yeah, okay, no, cool. No, I'm not standing my ground on this one. I'm sure you're more correct than I.
Well, now I just assumed that was correct, but I hope now I'm correct. Because like all of my theories are based around this.
All right, it's locked in.
Yeah.
Even Brad can't change this. That's what's happening.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that edit. Did you like the way they structured that?
Yeah, definitely. Especially because all the talk at that was the thing. All the talk at Tribal was about Dylan, about different things, and that was very interesting to watch. But then when she was voted out, it also made sense. It's kind of like you peel back the curtain and you're like, oh, that's what that meant. Like, so I definitely really did enjoy that. It was very well done.
Yeah, the marquee edit structure that reminds me of that, and like this is like the pinnacle of that. But when Jeremy Collins gets voted out and someone else, and you wouldn't even have thought of him as an option, but then you go back and it makes so much sense. And I've always thought that's like one of the most perfectly edited episodes of Survivor. And while this wasn't on that level and it's very hard to be, it was close to that in that I wouldn't have even thought Keisha was an option. Like it was so just Dylan, Dylan, Dylan. But I also understand the rationale of why it happened.
Especially because that's what throughout the episode, it was kind of like drip fed, like, oh, we don't trust her. We don't really know what she's saying. And I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. So also what I wanted to talk about was just the general Kung Khao dynamics, and especially where Lisa and Tara fit into it, because this was the most we've heard from Lisa probably, and I thought that her position was really interesting because she said that she doesn't think it's the cool kids versus the outcasts, which from what we've seen in the edit, it is, you know, and while it is everyone versus Dylan and I guess Dylan and Keisha right now, on a larger scale, it is the cool kids versus the outcasts. So I wonder where she thinks she and Tara sit in that.
Yeah, I do. I don't think they're playing badly. And I think I got more insight into Lisa this episode because even the, what are they calling themselves? The core five or the type five?
Type five, yeah.
They didn't want to get rid of her because apparently she's like super great at puzzles and all these kind of things. She definitely has her worth there in the tribe. But I think that she's not seeing the tight five. And I think if she was interested in seeing the type five, she would see that she needs to maybe find some numbers in other positions.
Yeah. And I was kind of confused about how much Lisa and Tara knew about how the vote would go. Now, I do believe that they thought it would be like they voted for Dylan and the type five voted for Keisha. But I do think that they thought it would be a split vote based on that whole Adam but not Adam conversation I was talking about earlier. But their voting confessionals, especially, you know, Lisa talking about another super fan going, made me kind of think that they thought Dylan might go. So if they thought Dylan would be the primary split vote target and then he didn't go, that seems like a very unnecessary way for the tight five to alienate Lisa and Tara. And they could come back next week and be like, why were we blindsided here?
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think if that's true, that's definitely a rookie error. But I was on the contingency vote a couple of times. I didn't have an issue with that one. And I would always get to the confessional and be like, just confused about who I should talk about.
Right.
Like, do I talk about the person that I'm writing down? Or like just, and I think I for a couple of votes, I kept saying this is a contingency. And I'm like, well, that's boring. Let's spice it up. So maybe they're having these internal crises like I was.
Right. She was like, I know Keisha's going, but I'm just going to give this heartfelt speech to Dylan, who I will see back at camp in a second.
When you put it like that. No.
Yeah. So the voting confessionals really were confusing to me. Like, are we going to get back to camp next week? And they're like, why? I'm sorry. I can't stop.
Why? 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 Sit down, Ziggy.
I'm so sorry to bring on the flashbacks.
No, it's funny.
Yeah, it's so funny. I'm having a great time. But I do think that while I'm a bit worried about the read, I do like their move to just ingratiate themselves with the majority. This is what Keisha should have done. Just like hold tight to your captors and just be there and throw Dylan under the bus, which they all obviously did. And then I hope that they know enough to swap from that type five at a swap or a merge, because they're not in the core. And so they need to get out eventually.
Yeah. And I think maybe if they even do recognize the type five, do you know what's a really powerful position? Number six. Like the Christy Bennett kind of tactic in the story there, coming in is with more in, like, not enough inertia as you have with five people, but still being that sixth person, you're always needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like we heard a lot from Lisa, but we really haven't got a lot from Tara. So I'm just lumping them in together. I assume that they're both on the same page and what one knows the other doesn't, but we have not seen enough to know that.
So do you think that they're each other's closest allies, or do you think, I think Lisa's closest ally might be Brad?
Oh, that's a good point. Like, we just keep lumping them in together because I guess they're a similar demographic. They've like, they're both like the obvious six and seven. You know, there was the five, and then there's Keisha and Dylan, and they're the two that aren't in either of those groups. Yeah. But I think you're right. We do see Lisa and Brad quite a bit. So maybe Tara doesn't have relationships like that with someone on the five the way Lisa does, and that brings her in a bit closer.
And further away from Tara, because I think if she saw the five and didn't have a connection in there, there would be more red flags.
Yeah. I mean, we have really barely seen anything of their relationship, like if anything at all. So we're just completely assuming that they're aligned. They could have no relationship with each other.
But we've taken something small and we've run with it, and I love it.
Yeah, so Kung Kao, like, really brought the heat in this episode. I'm glad they finally went to tribal because, you know, we've seen a lot of Chani, and now we can finally see Kung Kao implode a little bit, and that was fun for me to see.
Yeah, exactly. It was definitely due for it. I think everybody on the island, apart from Dylan, thought it was due for it.
Yeah, poor Dylan. But I do think that next week we saw some weird things in the next time on where, is it a swap? Is it not a swap? Like, they said it was a twist, but when these people were talking, they all had their original buffs on. So I don't want to say it's a swap as yet, but if it's not a swap, let me go back in time to the producers of Survivor New Zealand. Please swap the tribes. Like, this is the time.
I know.
Like, we know who's going to go home on either tribe or who's in danger. Like, it's time for a swap.
Switch it up. Let's get some people starting from scratch again. But yeah, you're right. I'm not sure. One thing that makes me question it is, once again, I didn't watch last season, so I'm not sure when the merge was or how it worked, but it was when they were at the outpost and they were saying maybe we're about two or three votes away from merge.
Mm.
So to do a swap for just two votes, interesting. Well, I'm not sure.
Well, there's 14 people left, so 12 seems like quite a big number to merge with. I mean, obviously they do that in the US all the time, but it was 10 last season. I do think that they could swap for three votes and then merge at like an 11. I think if I put my producer's hat on, that's what I would be thinking.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, I would be very keen to see a swap and see things shaken up a bit.
For sure.
It might be a swap because didn't they say that the dwindling numbers due to the type five?
Yeah, well, I mean, they said that they didn't have numbers, but the thing is that Survivor New Zealand does stuff that I can't even, like, fathom. So, for example, the twist at the outpost, which we'll get to a bit later. But, like, that's not something that I, like, really knew, like, that ever existed in Survivor. So if it's just some weird twist that Survivor New Zealand is doing, like, that also wouldn't surprise me. And it could also be a swap. But I don't feel confident enough to just be like, they're definitely swapping next week.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm not going to put all my money on it.
Yeah.
But, like, if I was just having a casual chat, I would be like, no, I reckon.
See, I'm not even at that point where I'm confident.
You're not at the reckon level.
Certainly not on air am I going to say, like, they're definitely swapping.
Well, now I feel like I need to overcompensate. You know what? No, I'm sure of it.
Now when they do swap next week, I'm going to sound like an idiot. I'm still getting used to this whole podcasting thing where you just, like, are completely wrong on the air and you just deal with it.
but you had info from somewhere else and, like, they don't understand. You were thinking on a more superior level, that's all.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. Let's very briefly check in with Chani, who didn't have a lot to do in this episode, and they're probably just so glad of that. Probably everyone except JT, who's like, where's my airtime? Like, I want to go to Tribal Council so I can, like, get my confessional count up, get those sweet chizzy points. But, there wasn't a lot going on. Renee thinks she's on the bottom. That was basically their storyline, and I'm pretty sure she's correct.
I actually thought this was the Renee episode halfway through it.
How boring would that have been? It would have been like her saying, I'm on the bottom, and everyone agreeing, and then she would have gone home.
Especially after Eve got the immunity for the night.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, bye.
But I think it's interesting that she doesn't seem to realize the actual tribe dynamic. She thinks it's a bit of a boys thing, whereas Liam's not really in it, as we've seen, and Eve is.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a bit interesting. But the most interesting thing about Chani was their like now feud that they have with Dylan, and he's on Kung Cal. So Kung Cal was really bringing all the heat in this episode.
Yeah, I think Dylan was responsible for a lot of good TV this episode, which I definitely thank him for.
Yeah.
I just feel like, yeah, I think they're just taking a breather. Like, I feel like they've been to war and they're just having a time out and they're like, okay. And then they'll start playing when they need to play again.
Yeah. So let's get into talking about the outpost, which I think delivered again. Like, I really think it's been a really interesting wrinkle to the game every single week.
Yeah.
Have you been enjoying the outpost?
I have been enjoying the outpost. The one thing I don't understand, I can understand from boredom, but apart from that, why does everybody want to go to the outpost?
Yeah. Well, I've been on the record of saying, like, you should never go to the outpost. It never turns out well for you. I think that they want it as, like, to grab that knowledge, that power, because you don't really know what happened there unless you go. But I do think that after all these weeks of saying never go to the outpost, I think that this was the week where two people who were really in a power position with very little to lose went.
Yeah.
It would be hard to shake Aaron and Josh from their very powerful positions in their tribes.
So yeah, I think
that was
so.
Okay for them. And they both played it better than we've seen a lot of the people play it this season. So I think that of all the weeks, like, it actually went pretty well for them this week.
Yeah, like the one last week was a bit of a waste of time. The tactics and everything wasn't just shut down. So it was cool to see them interact. And from my personal experience of when I was on Survivor, you are so keen to know what the hell is happening on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
There was about 2 weeks where we didn't even have all of their names down. Like, we had nicknames for them. We didn't know what their names were. So it's just, mm-hmm. you know you're here with these people, but, like, you're just so keen to know what's happening. So
yeah.
It would be amazing to turn up and just be like, okay, tell us.
Yeah. And so one of the best things that came out of the outpost this week, and one of my favorite things in the episode, was that stick rigging is a thing.
Oh, I you know what? Good.
Both tribes thought of that. Like, what are the odds? I was very impressed. Like, that is some sneaky stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad that that's the thing. What I'm really liking about this season is that it's not just we're all out here with our mates having a great time. Oh, no, we have to vote someone out. Like, no, you're actually playing.
Yeah.
You're using whatever small advantage you can to get your allies into the right places to put yourself in a good position. And that's the kind of Survivor I like to watch.
Yeah. Do you think that you would have rigged the sticks if you were in a position to do so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is, I even went as far as being like, why is Dylan even included in the stick pulling?
Yeah, I mean, like, imagine if they didn't even let him pull a stick. Pull a stick.
Yeah.
No, but like, seriously, like, that would be
Dylan
so mean.
Dylan has a much softer spot in your heart than me, because I'm like, why just be like, Dylan, look, you're on the bottom. We don't hate you. You're great. You really are great.
We don't hate you, but you're not good enough to pull the stick.
Yeah, right now we're going to say no on the stick pulling. We don't want you to go to Outpost. Everyone agrees. Okay.
Oh, my God. That would be so mean. Yeah,
I know.
I don't
but
have that,
like,
killer instinct.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have, like, I could probably never do it either. But, I mean, logically.
Look Dylan in his eyes, in his puppy dog eyes, and tell him he's not allowed to pull a stick. Can you actually do that?
Dylan, here, I have the biggest stick.
I think that, obviously, the stick pulling is not a good method of deciding who goes to the outpost, and they need to stop that. Like, guys,
yeah.
Do a rock, paper, scissors tournament. That is the way you should decide everything in life.
Okay, time out. How do you – is it, like, knockout round, or do you play that rocks, paper, scissors tournament where, like, you all do it in one big circle at once?
No, I would say that, you know, if you just do 1v1, if there's an odd number of people, you can do, like, a three-way rock, paper, scissors thing.
Ooh.
And then stick pulling, three-way rock, paper, scissors. We need to stop. My parents listen to this podcast. but no, but then you just, the winners then take on each other, and then you get a victor. Like, that's how things should be decided in life. Like, they've completely ruined the whole stick pulling thing within 3 weeks of the outpost, and now they need to switch it up because it's just not working.
Yeah. Do you want to know here's a random fun fact. So my family's super competitive, and whenever we're playing board games, we can't even decide who goes first. And so the rock, paper, scissors tournament, it didn't work out. There was too much violence. So what we do now, we all go to random parts of the room. Someone names an animal, like a penguin. We draw our best penguin, and then we put all six of them together, and we send a picture off to, like, friends and be like, rank them.
Just
and
to go first.
Yeah.
That is not worth it.
This is how they decide if they're going to the outpost.
Yeah, I don't think that they have paper and pens.
Yeah, no, look, I'm just spitballing here. We've established that the sticks are no longer working.
They should do. Yeah, they should make it fun. Like, they should be doing Pictionary in the sand. Like, they should play a game. You should earn that spot at the outpost. You shouldn't just pull a stick that you've rigged.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But okay, enough about stick pulling and stick rigging and all of that. I do think it was amazing, though. But so we've got these two power players in Josh and Aaron who go to the outpost. And where we've seen people in the past be super cagey and all of the people basically have come away with no relationship with each other or actually liking each other less, Josh and Aaron actually make that connection. And I got to say that I got to give a lot of the credit to Aaron, who I thought here was amazing again. I sang his praises last week. Brett LaBelle said it was because I had a crush on him. I've denied it ever since. But you know what? He's great. He's playing a great game. I love the game he's playing. And I thought that he was perfect here.
Do you know what? I don't think so. But also, I was thinking while watching this, am I not enjoying it because he looks weirdly like my ex-boyfriend?
Okay, so it's all based on that.
I think love here is what's getting it to us. So tell me what you think about it, because I thought we'd both agree that it was good but weirdly done. I thought this was a why moment.
Okay. Well, I do think he was a little bit pushy when he, you know, asked for the alliance, but you know what? He went for it. And obviously Josh is someone who's trying to recruit those alpha males, which is something that AK spoke about a couple of weeks ago. So credit to AK who picked up on that immediately. But he went there, he made the alliance. Josh said yes to the alliance, which I think is the right move. And Aaron gave away like barely any information. Like, he was just vague enough. Like, he felt like he was giving you something, but he actually gave him nothing. He told him nothing of his, you know, connection with JT, which is probably the most important connection on Chani. I thought Josh gave away a lot more information about, you know, how close he is with Brad and some of the dynamics there. So just in terms of making that connection and having it be an option, but also being a bit wary of Josh in a way that's probably appropriate, and then also not giving away the information, I was like, 5 stars. Good job, Aaron.
That is so funny, because I thought Josh came off better from this conversation.
Okay.
I thought he didn't, once again, I'm not going to be too stubborn about my mindset. I'm happy to be wrong. But I felt like, coming in with the offer, I didn't like the way Aaron did it. So first of all, it was like, do you want to be in an alliance? I kind of felt like it was like high school. And then instead of being like, strong
with me?
Yeah, do you want to, like, my mum will get onto your mum and we can organize a play date.
was Aaron your, like, the ex-boyfriend that looked like Aaron, was he like a school boyfriend? Because maybe this is where you're placing it in your mind.
Oh, no. This is way too fresh.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you just hate Aaron. Oh, this is sad.
Yeah, but like, I just don't understand. No, I'm kidding. I'm all good. I'm fine. Life's great. My love life is brilliant.
I'm bringing up so many sad memories for you, and only some of them are on purpose.
Nah, things are great. I'm a catch, and mum says one day I'll find love. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to Aaron. He said, he's like, do you want to be in the alliance? And then he said, I kind of want to fall back.
Right.
He was like, I want different. I want to play a game where I want heaps of things and I want to fall back.
But he said that, I think, in confessional.
Now
I'm confused. I think he did. Like, I feel like he was very much like present with Josh in this whole like alpha alliance, but then confessional was like, I've got plan A, B, and C, and I was like, good job, Aaron.
Okay, cool. Because I thought he said something about putting all the eggs in one basket. Maybe I was in the fridge. I'm not sure. And then I felt like the conversation was redundant. In my personal opinion, I believe it would have been better off if it's like, look, mate, I've been wanting to chat to you forever. Maybe a merge is coming up. I just think, obviously, we're coming in with our different tribes, but maybe we can just look after each other here.
Right.
And I think it's mutually beneficial here to make sure that we keep each other around, kind of like what I had going on with Jared and Petey, because there's no denying they're coming in. And if they can protect both of each other from first vote of merge, then they're in a good position.
Right. So you just think he went with the whole thing, was like, we're in an actual alliance now.
Alliance. Yeah. And I think for me, that would put up red flags for me, because, and I think Josh the red flags kind of popped up. He's like, look, he's not like, I don't know, he's not my main alliance, is how I took this whole conversation. And I think it was kind of unbelievable that you would go in full quotation marks alliance with the big old label, because I just feel like it's not genuine.
But maybe like, it could be believed because Chani have been so decimated that he would be trying to get off that raft and would be trying to attach himself to something really solid with Kung Kao.
Yeah, true. But did you see the awkward handshake?
It was a bit awkward. It was a bit awkward. But I mean, since they just met. Like, it'll get better.
Yeah, they just met. But that's what I'm saying. They just met.
Yeah. But you only have, like, so much time to make this alliance. Like, it's got to be quick.
Yeah. I just think of it's weird when you have to say, like, this is an alliance.
Right.
Like,
That was a bit awkward.
Yeah. And it seemed like once they said we're in an alliance, it seemed like it was this super sacred protected thing. And I'm not sure whether I'm just coming from the season full of all, I called us all alliance sluts. We had like 1,000 alliances each. And mm-hmm. when someone said, do you want to be in an alliance? That word means nothing to me.
Yeah.
So what I find more value in is when someone says like, let's just look after each other. Mm-hmm. That to me, maybe it's just my issue with language. Like I didn't, like if he'd done that to me, I wouldn't have personally been receptive to it.
Right.
I probably also would have hugged him, being like, "Is that my explore?" No, I'm kidding.
I do see what you mean, but I was just happy that two people came away from the outpost at least having formed some sort of connection and not just hating each other. So that's probably a better use of the outpost than we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I am. Oh, also one other thing I've written here. Once this for me, all I wrote was red flags, red flags, red flags. He said, yeah, he was like, so what's going on over on your side? And he said, oh yeah, I don't know. People, he said, they're not really playing the game. And I thought if I'm standing next to someone who's just been to however many tribal councils and they're all slowly eating each other and you're going to try and tell me that they're not playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't trust you at all. So that's how I viewed this. He comes in forward. He's like, let's be in an alliance. And then he's like, no, my tribe's not really playing the game. Like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm being set up here, mate. That's how I would have taken it.
It would have been interesting to hear a bit more from Josh's perspective of whether he bought that. Because he gave him some stuff. He said he was close with Dave. Like, gave him like a little bit of information where I thought Josh might have been happy with it, but then hit a lot of the important stuff. But you're right. I mean, for someone to come in, three tribals in and be like, we're not playing well. What have you been doing for the last 12 days?
Yeah,
you've been
tell
dying
us all about
over
you.
There.
Yeah. It's like, just for me. And then the thing that I didn't, when they like work together to try and strategize as to who should be left behind,
mm-hmm.
it is quite weird. It's not like they were making the decision together. I feel like it'd be cool to go to an outpost and have them actually make a decision together for. And I think maybe does this stay around come merge?
Yeah, that's what I believe.
That would be cool once they're all working within the same kind of parameters, because they were asking each other for counsel and they were trying to get advice. And at the end of the day, they couldn't really help because it was like, mate, that's your tribe. You do you, you know?
Yeah, no, we have some of the questions later where there were some questions about how it could have been like an even cooler dilemma. Like, let's talk about that dilemma. I quite liked it.
I liked it.
Yeah. I thought it would have been cool if, as well as losing your spot in the challenge, but then being immune, you also lost your vote. That would have been a pretty intense wrinkle, because then Josh couldn't have really sent himself and taken away that number from the tight five.
Yeah, that's good. Have you looked into just being on a production team? Because you seem to have this pretty sorted.
I have so many ideas. Like, it's literally all I think about. Can someone hire me? Someone on Survivor Production.
Really? That's so cool. Yeah, because I was like, I saw this and I was like, this is such a good twist. And where my like imagination kind of finishes, just because after so many seasons, it's cool to come up with something that you haven't seen before that still works.
Yeah, I did still like it, but I just thought it would be cool if they also lost their vote.
Yeah, I think you're definitely onto it. I feel like they should just send you, like, just this is our plan, and you'll come back and be like, I'll just tweak this, and then they'll be like, perfect.
Thank you. No, but yeah, that was, I still thought that it was interesting, because the thing that was most interesting was that you could reveal your alliances by who you were trying to save, because it was only really a positive thing because you made someone immune and they didn't lose anything. It was quite revealing. So that's why I quite liked that Josh sent himself.
Yeah.
I do think that it was stupid that he was like, maybe I'll send Brad, like immediately told Aaron about how close he was with Brad. But
yeah,
I think overall to send himself, and they didn't need him in the challenge, and he might as well have been immune. And then it wasn't like picking one ally over the other. So it was just, I thought that was a good decision from him.
Yeah, it's just kind of, and I think, yeah, you come back and you haven't annoyed anybody. Well, or no, you've equally annoyed everybody. Like, yeah, everybody's just the same equal level annoyed at you. And it's like, but this is why I would never go to the outpost.
Yeah. But they weren't even annoyed with him. I'm pretty sure they applauded him. Like, they were like, we don't even need you for the challenge and we don't even care if we win. So doesn't really matter to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also thought that Aaron made a good choice, because if he sent himself and didn't play and was immune, that would have been really bad. Like, he ended up winning the challenge for them. So for him to sit out, he would have looked pretty damn selfish.
Yeah, it wouldn't have. I would have, like, at the moment, I can still see that Aaron is smart. He's playing the game. I didn't necessarily like his pitch. And I think I'm just reflecting from a place of where that wouldn't have, like, gone well with me. But as we discussed, that could also go because I don't trust people who look like him.
Yeah.
how far can I take this ex-boyfriend joke? Because I feel like it's getting into awkward territory. So I'm going to officially tap out.
Well, I mean, I love that we're talking about it, and it's very rare to me that you get two women talking about Survivor, like, just like in the general Survivor universe, like, that doesn't happen very often. And I'm really glad that we're just not at all passing the Bechdel test right now and just giving people points based on whether they look like our ex-boyfriends or we think they're cute. So that's really just a win for feminism, probably.
I don't think I've given points to anyone just because I think they're cute. I really
didn't. Oh, I'm doing that.
I didn't appreciate his pitch. And I just think for me that there was a lot that I wouldn't have personally believed coming from this side. So, I don't know. I thought that Josh came off better, but I like the fact that you thought he came off better. And I definitely appreciate the intelligence behind his gameplay.
Yeah, I thought that it was pretty good from both of them. Like, I was like, that's probably how you should do the outpost from both of them. Not at all to do with how they look, Brett LaBelle, if you're listening. But yeah, I do think that I'm just impressed with Aaron, and I'm just on the Aaron train, basically.
Yeah, toot toot.
All right, Annalie. So I want to get into some of our regular segments here on RHAP. Firstly, we have to get into our weekly Chismisms. Again, people keep hashtagging Chismisms. Like, this really warms my heart because people weren't hashtagging this at the beginning of the podcast. And then I just basically begged the audience to hashtag it. And they did, I think, out of pity. So thank you guys so much, and for sending in some Chismisms. So what did Chizzy do that was funny this episode? He said about the reward, come grab the smoko. And honestly, like, I did a quick Google search and I still don't know what this means.
Oh, I think he's so great because I feel like you get hosts that are just so professional and they're like, these are the rules. But I like he's always like, this is going to be good.
Yeah, he's so enthusiastic. Like, again, his face when Aaron and Josh were making an alliance was just like pure joy. Like, oh, yeah. I love that.
He's like, yes, this is what we wanted, guys.
Yeah, but do you know what smoko means? Like, I'm just appealing. Like, someone tweeted me what smoko means. So
smoko is like a cigarette break, no?
Yeah, so that's what came up on Google, but I was like, that doesn't make sense in the context of how he said it.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't know what smoko means.
Yeah, that must be what it is.
Or we just can't possibly be wrong. Yeah, no.
Also, he said drinking chocolate as one of the rewards, and I got some questions about this because apparently that's not a thing in the US, but it's a thing in Australia. So you guys are
most
wrong.
Definitely. Yeah, it's basically it's just hot chocolate.
Yeah, it's just hot chocolate.
Like, what you make hot chocolate. Like, okay, here's the question, Shannon. Is it like, I think drinking chocolate, I don't use the expression, but I feel like if it's hot chocolate that comes from powder or from a syrup, they both fall under the drinking chocolate umbrella. Discuss. Yeah.
No, I agree. But to me, it's just like unappetizing because I think back to like just drinking chocolate at camp when you have those powdery things. It's just not good. Like, this was not a very good reward. We have to talk about that. You know, they played the sumo at sea challenge in the mud. And I'm like, they said it was like a week's worth of smoko. quote unquote. So it's just not a good reward. Like, where are the mattresses, Tessa? Where are the mattresses?
They had four cookies.
It was so bad.
Do you know that mud, it does not go. Back to me because
You're on Survivor.
Because I'm awfully conceited. When so we did the mud challenge and I had nice long blonde hair out on the island, and as soon as I came home, I had to cut it short, dye it dark because the mud killed my hair, and then I had to wash it out in salt water, and then it all snapped. Oh, and God. Then we started – mud challenge was like May 10th. I was flying in September, and I was still getting mud out of my ears.
Oh, my God. I think if the reward was drinking chocolate for a week – I mean, I do love tea, but, I mean, there's some things you just won't do. Like, I would just be like, I'm out. I'm not playing this challenge for that. Like, give me the mattresses.
Yeah, you're kidding. So I don't know. I think if there is one criticism for New Zealand Survivor, it's up the rewards.
Yeah, well, last season they gave them a bag of melted chocolate. It was like in a Ziploc bag.
I heard.
Yeah, yeah. That's like the one thing everyone's heard about that season of Survivor. Like, yes. You could not know who won, but you will know about the melted chocolate.
The melted Ziploc chocolate. Also, earlier on in the season with the immunity idol hunt, I did notice that there were Ziploc bags. And
yeah.
It does ruin the feel for a bit.
Yeah, but it just feels so like authentically Survivor New Zealand that I just love it.
Oh, it's cute now, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And my last Chismism was I just want to note that last week Brett spoke a little bit about how Matt Chism missed the birth of his child to film the show, which, like, incredible commitment, and thank you, Chizzy, for everything that you do. But yeah. Charney was just giving him nothing, basically, for the first 3 weeks. And you got to thank Adam and Dylan for truly delivering. And Matt Chism's probably like, this was worth missing the birth. Finally,
oh my God, you're
I have
so
the fight.
Right. Yeah, yeah, just like sitting there being like, I'm so bored at the outhouse, but at the outpost. But this time he's like, yes.
Yeah, this was this episode. He got a lot of the things that were worth missing the birth of your child, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Have you seen the meme of it's like a stick figure guy. I don't know why I'm talking memes on a podcast. We can't see it. And he's
paint
got like
a picture.
He's got, there's this stick figure guy and he's really big and he's pushing two other stick figures together and he's like, now kiss.
Yeah.
That was Chism at the outpost.
It's so true. It was just like completely shipping Aaron and John.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. So now we're going to get into the Chizzy, which is where we award 6 points every week, 3, 2, and 1 for the best 3 players of the week. You give your points, I give my points, we tally them all up. The winner at the end of the season is going to win a LaBelle's Lobsters hat directly from Boston. Brett is going to send it. He has promised he will pay for the shipping and we are holding him to that. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, he really, like, he is in debt now from coming on the podcast last week. You're lucky that you've gone so far into the podcast and you don't owe me any money, because that was basically Brett last week.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. You're the best.
I mean, do you want to pay for shipping for someone or no?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
All right. So we won't do that. Okay. So 1 point I am going to give to Josh. I did say he was a bit too revealing at the outpost, but I like that he formed that connection with Aaron. Obviously, he was, you know, on the right side of the vote as well. So that also helps. And I liked his decision to sit himself out. Like, it's pretty rare that you get such a good reaction back at camp. So whether that speaks to the decision or his social game or both, like, I just thought it was pretty good. So that's a point for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 2 points I'm going to give to Tessa, who was someone I've been a bit mean to on this podcast, mostly about the mattress, which I can't stop bringing up. But I think the fact that Keisha went and not Dylan, it does speak to how much power she has. And they said in the episode that, you know, she has the boys wrapped around her finger. Well, she got what she wanted and that her rival went.
Yeah.
And I think that shows she's in more control than we've even seen. So I'm giving her 2 points there. And 3 points, no surprises here. Giving it for the second week in a row to Aaron. I just loved what he did at the outpost. I loved a lot of what he said in confessional about his plan. He's just playing a great game, in my opinion. And I think the fact that the game's really going the way of the alpha males and this, like, big bro alliance thing, and if he can fit well into that, I think I could see him going really far.
Yeah, and I actually think I do. So with that one with Tess, I think what we saw as well was when she was worried she was going home, even her alliance wasn't – they weren't questioning it. They were so like, no way, like – no way are you going home. We just use the idol, like stuff like that, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we definitely are due for a season where the strong stick together. So I'm really liking Aaron's gameplay.
Mm-hmm. So what were your votes? The 3, 2, and 1 or the 1, 2, and 3?
See, Aaron for me was a 1-pointer vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I like his idea, but if he'd committed to the Alpha Male Alliance, I think he would have been a bit higher. But I think for me, he's just coming across as wishy-washy and not so trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with him, he's there. And he was begrudgingly on the list, but I couldn't deny the fact that he was definitely thinking and thinking forward. So that's great.
Okay.
My two-pointer was Josh. Mm-hmm. And that was just because with my perception, I felt like he came away from the outpost with the upper hand. I also thought, just like you did, he set himself out of the challenge. He didn't get flack for it. I thought that was a smart decision, making sure that you're not showing any favoritism, because it would have been really weird to sit out, Brad.
Yeah. Imagine if you come back a lot.
You would have just been like, what?
Yeah.
And my player of the week, 3 points, goes to Brad.
Okay.
I felt like he really, from what we saw, he was the one that definitely picked up on what Keisha was doing. And I feel like he informed everyone that kind of the boats needed to be changed. And he was right in thinking that because she was trying to take out one of his allies. So, and for me, I just saw that he's in a really good position. So I don't think he has like the biggest target on his back for being like a hectic game player. Like we need to get him out. But he's also really tight with Josh. Josh was going to give him the advantage. He's in the tight five. He was able to see someone out of the tight five and see that they were lying to him, get rid of an actual threat. And now he has this what left coming into this next episode. He has a very easy vote at his fingertips with Dylan. And he's got his, he can just take a step back and let that roll out, and then he can come in with Josh having made an alliance with Aaron for him. Like, I just think Brad's in a good position, so I'm giving him my player. Wait, what is it?
Chizzy. Yeah, well, I mean, I do actually, like, now that you've laid it all out for me, like, I really think I'm underrating Brad, and I haven't spoken that much about the game that he's playing, but I totally see it as well, and I do think that his social dynamics in the middle of that tribe have been really impressive.
Yeah, and I just think in that group of five, he's relatively well protected. Like, he is a very strong guy, but he's got, like, Adam's probably a bit more social and maybe a bit more out there. He's got his barriers around whilst being in a strong position while also making his own calls. So I like what he's up to.
All right. Well, in saying that, Aaron is this week's Chizzy winner because he got 4 points between us. So well done to Aaron. And the leader is still JT on 12 Chizzy points because he got votes in every other week except this one. JT, you got to start throwing some challenges. Like, you have to be going to tribal council or doing stuff so we can be giving you votes every week so you can get that LaBelle's lobster hat.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know what you were out there for. It wasn't any hidden immunity idols or any kind of $250,000. It's this lobster hat. So start throwing your challenges.
Yeah, it definitely should have been for a competition that I created 2 weeks ago and that didn't exist at the time of filming. Like, if you didn't have that foresight, why were you even there?
I think it was that. I think we're going to see some great things.
Yeah. All right, Annalise. Well, I do have some questions from the listeners for you, so let's get to that. We got a lot of questions on Twitter and in the Patreon group. Please always send in your questions to us. We love hearing from you guys. Stephen LeCantro says, do the editors use the same shot of Dylan sitting by himself over and over again?
Yes, I had that. Oh, my God.
I also thought that.
I had that written because whenever they talk about him moping, he's just on the same hill. And do you know what I noticed? He's in that same spot on the same hill with the same clothes when Keisha came up to him and was like, we're going to try and split the votes. I think they just – I don't know whether it's a narrative that they've perpetuated or whether it's they just didn't get the footage of him actually moping. But
it's like a still image of him that they have replayed over and over.
Like, 2-second clip that sometimes they put in slow motion.
Oh, that is, that must be. I agree. It was like, it's always the same hill. Like, give us some different locations of him moping in other places if you want us to really believe it.
It's a different angle, maybe.
Yeah, different camera angle. Literally, like, any different item of clothing, like, literally anything to show us that this isn't just the same thing over and over again.
Yes, I definitely noticed that.
Stephen also asked a question that was confusing to me. He said, how are you enjoying the claws you got on Thursday night?
Oh, my God.
What is this?
This was very, very lovely. And there are these super cool fans here in Melbourne. Like, they're real great to chat to. But they came to the viewing party with presents for me. Okay. And the presents were like claws, like made of plastic toys, claws that you pick up things out of arm's reach with.
Okay. Why did they do that?
That was my question.
Can someone please tweet us why they did that?
Well, no, they'll like, I'll contact them. And then they showed me a video of them going around. Like, it's actually pretty funny. Like, they were just operating with the claws as hands. And then anyway, the next day in the superfan group, someone was like, oh yeah, we gave Annalise our presents. She loved them, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I said, guys, I'm going to have to be honest. I don't quite understand. I really don't understand. And they were like, nah, just use it. So do you know what? I've been using it.
How great is it to go on Survivor and get these random gifts? Like, was it worth going out there for how many weeks you were out there, like, starving and not sleeping to get these claws from random people?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I think there's no easier way to get claws from people.
Yeah, okay. 5-step plan to get plastic claws. 1, go on Australian Survivor.
That's another thing. I was like, I'm not quite sure what, like, I get, like, listen to me, I just don't understand, but, like, I love them. I absolutely love them and I appreciate them. And like, if anyone else has claws or whatever they want to present to me, I'm so grateful for it.
Okay. Well, I do hope that when they presented it to you, you said, why?
Why?
Mike Bloom says, based on last episode's edit, are we expecting a fall of the Type 5, specifically Adam, like we got with the Young Hermosa group last season? So last season, there was another like young, fit, popular group and the swap completely screwed them and it was not a good tale from then on for them. So do you think that that's coming for this Type 5 on Kangkal?
I think that comes every season. I think like it's hard to find a season of Survivor where the young, popular group weren't eventually overrun by the misfits, which is probably why I love Survivor. I don't know. Five is a good number. Five's a pretty solid number to have. And if there isn't a swap coming up, I can't see the downfall of them too soon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that I'm really being presented with the fact that someone like Matt or Brad like will necessarily have this downfall. But I mean, maybe if Adam becomes like even more and more villainous, it'll end up being like a narrative downfall.
Yeah. And if that were to happen, I would also take into account the fact that maybe it is just like a exaggerated edit. But
yeah,
Adam, I love your stuff. I'm just nervous about where the story's headed.
Mm-hmm. Mike also says, if next week is a swap, what's Annalisa's advice for those who may find themselves on the outside looking in of a new tribe? Because you definitely experienced that.
I'm an expert in this.
Yep.
Okay. So I think it's really difficult, and I think this was actually eventually the downfall of my game as well. Because as you said, when I got to merge, I stuck with Summer Tower. But when you swap, I personally believe that you have to stick with that tribe that you've been swapped into, mm-hmm. and they're your people now. Mm-hmm. Because learn from JT, like you don't know what is happening on the other tribe. Despite what relationships you had, despite what you see, you no longer have control over there. You don't know what's happening. So what you have in front of you, they're your people.
Right.
And you need to really wholeheartedly want to play this game with them. And that was really easy for me when I was swapped over to Asanga. I found people like Luke and Kent who really got my sense of humor and it was really cool to be enjoyable. But then when I got swapped back into the tribe that had sent me to exile, I really just had to commit. I had to be like, do you know what? Like, I don't have a choice here. This is it. And I think people can see that genuine wanting to help. And yeah. There's always cracks. There's always cracks. And that's what I was saying before about in that Type 5, if you're the number 6 and if you present yourself well, and if you don't ostracize yourself or like, I think I probably was a bit too like, I feel maybe I spoke a bit too much to too many people and people eventually got suspicious. But if you play it right and I think the secret is just having a genuine want to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's really good advice. And I think it's something that Tyson Apostle, who is obviously a Survivor winner and a very experienced Survivor player, has said a lot of as well. And I guess it just comes down to love the one you're with, because if not, you know, your allies on the other tribe might get voted out and then you're waiting around for nothing.
Yeah. And I could definitely see that in his games as well. So that was something that I really played in my game. But then again, once I got to merge as well, the first vote of merge was quite a really interesting one that could take 7 hours to explain. So I'm not going to bother. But the downfall was I'd been swapped too many times and I think everyone expected my loyalties.
Yeah, and that sucked for you, but it was really entertaining as a viewer. So that's why they've got to start swapping the tribe. That's what we like to see, like change it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the funny thing is when you're actually playing and they keep talking about it because you don't know what's coming. So you're like, oh, we're going to swap soon. And we're like, oh, we're still not swapping. Like, we still have to keep imploding. And you're like, eventually, could someone change something up?
It's like pleading with the producers. Like, please.
Yeah, because right now everyone here knows I'm a snake. Like, I need to go to the people that I haven't screwed over.
And they're like, well, we will swap you, but you'll have to get voted out by your tribe to do it. So be careful what you wish for.
And then as soon as you get in a good position, we'll swap you back.
Yeah. They're horrible, those Survivor producers. That's why I want to be one.
Oh, what a great sentence.
All right.
Sidetracked.
Jordan on Twitter says, do you see the tribe swap benefiting Chani due to Kangkal's poor attempts at securing Dylan, Tara, and Lisa? Assuming there will be a tribe swap, which we don't know.
Would you call it a poor attempt to secure Lisa and Tara? Because It just depends on, as you said, those voting confessionals, like what that actually meant, because I feel like they've done a pretty good job of making Lisa and Tara feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
But Lisa also said this episode, I think, that she's happy to be a number and for have people to want to use her. So mm-hmm. I think that probably means she is a little bit more fluid. And yeah. I think it'd be really it's time. I want to watch this go down.
Yeah, I just don't know how good Lisa's read is and if she knows that she's outside on the outside looking in of that tight five, or if she actually thinks that it's just been everyone against Keisha and Dylan. So they might have done a really good job in pretending that she is one of, you know, one of the major alliance. But and I also don't know where Tara is because I've seen nothing of her. So it's hard to say.
Yeah, Tara, where you at, girl?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. Nick Fishman says, would you have felt it more fun if for the outpost they had to choose someone from the other tribe to sit out slash be immune? So this is another really fun idea. Like maybe Nick should be on Survivor production because that would be fun too, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. These are all these things that I wasn't even thinking about, but I think that's kind of what I was saying when I was like, it'd be cool if when they like have this moment to chat to each other, that there's something they need to work together for.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That would be a really cool moment to have the person on the other tribe. And if I say to them, look, I really need to keep Matt around. And then if they save Matt, then you kind of have that connection with them, but you're also giving up information. So I actually think that's, both Shannon, your ideas, Nick's ideas, I think they're better than what we had, but I still enjoyed the twist.
Yeah, I still liked it. And you know what? Yeah. They'll probably do stuff like this because they're going to go to the outpost every week. Like they got to do some weird stuff every week probably. So maybe they'll end up getting to ideas like this later in the season.
Ah, it would be so interesting. I can't wait to see what they have in store.
Yeah. Edward Morris says, what's with all the women getting knocked out? This is 4 for 4 women in a row.
Yeah. That's just the thing about Survivor. When you get out there, you do realize that I hate to pull the gender card, but as a woman early on, you are disadvantaged. I think it's just like the idea is you need to keep your alpha males for a certain amount of time. When I was on the, I was almost second voted out because people, mm-hmm. they assumed I was expendable.
Yeah.
Like something that you really have to fight against.
Yeah.
And that is just the way it is. So then you see these women in these power couples and you're like, why are they there? Where's the all girls alliance or anything? And it is like, you need the people in power. And I think that's what I really tried to do with Lockie, have the people in control.
Mm-hmm.
Want to keep you around. So you are working off the back foot from the beginning. I think there are stages of the game where it is beneficial to be a woman. I think most of the game, I don't really care what genitals you have, but I think just as a weaker human, you are automatically at a disadvantage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that like looking back on these specific women who've been voted out, it's all been for very different reasons. Like if anything, Yost was voted out in episode one because she was too strong and like too much of a leader and too much of a threat.
Yeah.
But then Carla, probably it was based on that demographic, that like older women, but then Frankie and Keisha, I think they just kind of play themselves out of the game. But when I do look at the power structures of both tribes, I've got like Aaron and JT leading the one, and then those five, four of which are men, leading Kung Kao. So the men are pretty much at the top of the food chain at the moment, I think, on both tribes.
What about Eve? You wouldn't say she's leading?
I would say, like, for me, I would probably put her, like, just under the power couple of Aaron and JT. She's already received votes, like, a vote from Frankie, and her name's been brought up, and I think JT is completely in control there, and I'd put Aaron as his second, and then Eve's kind of just a bit behind that.
Yeah, and I think to this, I wouldn't have anything against if it was top nine were all men. Like it just comes down to the game that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I just think from my personal experience, I was quite disadvantaged early and I was consistently fighting from the bottom just because I wasn't 6'5" and 110 kilos. Like sometimes it's just the way it goes, but yeah, take each person individually, see what they've done. And maybe there's other patterns there that isn't just gender.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously the gender dynamics always do come into it, and it's not even just based on gender, it's just based on perception, your archetype, like the character that you feel in that tribe. And yeah, as you said, it helps women sometimes and it hurts women sometimes, and in this season I think that it's probably going to hurt women. And the fact that the men are trying to make this bro-alliance thing and have this meat shield strategy going into the merge, like it's not looking great for a lot of the women if that's the route that they choose to go down.
Yes, but at the same time, I'm shipping the bro alliance. I think everyone always ships an all girl alliance, but who's shipping the all men alliance? I think that'd be a really interesting game if the top seven or whatever were just smart, men all playing a game and they all had this exceptional strength. Like, I'm still shipping it. I'm not against it. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to Clayton O'Dell, who said, how anxious was Annalise watching Brad get the idol during the challenge in episode 2? Was it being under the mat too easy? Because Annalise, you're part of an elite group who found, you know, idols at challenges. Like, it's probably just, it's just a handful of people and you're up there with some legends, you know, like Jeremy Collins and Troy Van. Yep, and now Brad. So did you like how he took the idol?
Kelly and Annalise, first of all, thank you so much, because I think in the Survivor community, it's easy to like feel insecure about how you did. But when you say something like that, it makes me proud and I feel happier about my experience. So that's awesome to be reminded of that. But
yeah,
secondly,
that was an awesome moment.
Too easy. Too easy. Like, oh, come, nah, too easy. Yeah, that's what I have to say about it.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it would have been really hard if you weren't at that specific point of the mat. Like, what if, you know, Lisa had been at that side of the mat? But, like, he'd literally just had to bend down.
Yeah, you do organize where you go in. So, ideally, it's tallest at the back. But that's kind of the – well, for our season, it was ideally put the tallest at the back because, I mean, we got all our six-foot people at the front and Tess is at the back and Jericho's at the back. No one's going to see them.
So that also advantages the men.
Yeah, I don't know. I always felt a little –
like, but in terms of this idol being placed, like at the back of the mat.
You're right, you're right.
Advantage the men.
Yeah. Or tall women.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess it wouldn't have helped Tessa.
Yeah, you're right.
But do you have like a club on social media where it's just like people who found idols at challenges and you just like chat with Kelly Wentworth, or is that not happening?
We don't really speak, we just send nudes.
Okay. I was not prepared for that. I have to get some visions of Troy Zan out of my head now, then. I'm just not going to forgive you for that.
They're in my head and they're staying there. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Wait. On that note, that's all we have today.
Wait, no, don't finish on that note.
It literally is the last thing I have. I'm so sorry.
All
please
right,
go
well.
Away, everyone, with these images of naked Troy Zan that we somehow
okay,
somehow
I'd
gave
like
you.
To say, I love how I claimed that I was almost second out because of my gender. It was probably because of my abrasive sense of humor.
Did you get, if you went around making people picture Troy Zan naked, like that is probably why, like, I'd probably vote you out too.
It's like, hi, I'm Ziggy, naked Troy Zan.
I'm starting to learn a lot.
Naked Troy Zan. Naked Troy Zan's a good looking guy. I'm not sitting here mocking naked Troy Zan. Do you know that? I just, yeah. Okay. Are we calling this?
Yep. The thing we're done. Okay, what is the hashtag today? You guys can always hashtag RHAP. You can hashtag KnowItAuz. But if you somehow made it through to the end of this podcast where we talked about naked Troy Zan, what is the hashtag? Is it just hashtag naked Troy Zan?
Naked. Hashtag he looks like my ex-boyfriend. Like, where are we going with this?
I also have hashtag stick pulling. But I don't think that we should. Don't click on that hashtag. Stick rigging. What do you think? Yeah. Naked Troy Zan? Stick rigging?
Stick rigging. Let's go with stick rigging.
Hashtag stick rigging. I like it. And then maybe we can all get these images out of our brains. Annalise, where can we find you on social media to stalk all of your exploits with the US survivors and then talk to you about it like a stalker?
Yeah, no, please feel free to follow me on social media, mainly Instagram. So first of all, my name's impossible to spell anyway. Second of all, someone who had my name took my name, so I've added extra letters. But it's at Annalise, and AnnnEliise. Just shoot me a message if you listen to the podcast, and I'll follow you back or whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'll be living.
Awesome. Well, you guys can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram. It's at Shannon Gaitz, SHANNONGAITZ. As always, I'm loving talking to you guys about the season on Twitter, in the patron group, on the website at Rob Has a Website. So please do keep sending your feedback, and I'm just loving hearing from you guys. I also want to say that you can find this podcast on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed, obviously on Rob Has a Website, but also something that I didn't know existed was that we have our own dedicated Survivor New Zealand channel. So please go to that and subscribe to it. Yeah, just search Survivor New Zealand Wrap-Up, so that's RHAPUP, one word, in your podcast app, and press subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. It's got like a big yellow and green logo, so you really can't miss it. And if you like what you hear, please do leave us a review. If you don't like what you hear, you can probably just keep that to yourself. But please do subscribe and follow that channel. And that's pretty much all I have today, Annalise, unless you had something to add.
Oh, I know my dad's listening to this in the future, so hey, Dad.
Okay.
He's like a super, super fan. He listens to all the podcasts.
That's awesome. Well, hey to Annalise's dad, and we're very sorry about any inappropriate things that we spoke about today.
He's used to it.
Okay. And I'm so happy to announce that next week we'll be talking to our own Nick Yadanza. So I'm so excited to catch up with Nick again, talk about everything through his American trip and everything through episode 5 of this awesome season. But otherwise, that's all we've got for today. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you so much, Annalise, for being here with me today. And thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes.
I want to say thank you for having me, but I feel like the gap's been too long.
All right, no, just say it and we'll cut it out.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on, and thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.